His main focus was in energy transmission. And, his backer was a billionaire. He was involved in the energy sector. When the person supporting Nikola Tesla discovered that Nikola Tesla is focusing on free energy transmission, extracting energy from nothing, and you've got to argue, well, what is nothing? There's no such thing as nothing. There's everything is everywhere. Yeah. And Nikola Tesla had a whole lot of something from nothing. He could power everything, all factories, houses on Earth for free from nothing, and distribute this energy for free. The backing for him was dropped. He had no funding. So then he clambered to try and find someone else to continue his research, and he didn't find anyone in the end, so he tried to do it on his own shoulders, and he died, I think, he's about 90, I think, but right to the very end, he was trying to improve humanity by creating devices that everyone could benefit from. But it didn't fit the business model, which is utilities of power generating plants that can know how many electrons are going out, and they can charge it. They can charge it. It can be tariffed, of course, you know.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
Hey everyone, if you are watching this stream right now, whether you're on YouTube or you're on Facebook, make sure that you let us know that you can see this and you can hear this. Add a comment below or let us know what you're thinking, what's on your mind. Maybe give this a like and give this a share as well as we get started with today's stream. What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you calm your mind, relax your nervous system, and experience the joy of being alive. In today's episode, we talk about some really fascinating and amazing topics, including Nikola Tesla and why he was a slightly controversial figure. We talk about scalar and Rife frequencies and what makes them unique, and how the concept of electricity can help us restore peak health and peak performance. So if you're excited about this episode as much as I am, and if you'd like to support our efforts, then make sure that you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, because it does something to the algorithm so that people who would not normally come across an episode like this will come across it. Action Tribe, it's really important that you share this episode, because I need for more people to hear this message, especially if they need to hear this message at this time in their life. And because this topic is a bit different, I feel that our reach might be limited. So make sure that you support us by sharing and forwarding this particular episode. With that being said, let's bring on our special guest for today, John White. John White is a Rife researcher and inventor from New Zealand, now living in Nanjing, China, with a background in electrical engineering, physics, and computer sciences. He has been researching and developing solutions to serious diseases since 2008 with an insatiable desire for truth and knowledge. John has collaborated with other research groups to discover answers to health issues. So welcome, John, to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. There's so many different topics and themes that I was hoping to explore on our show, but perhaps we can start from the very beginning. Where did you grow up as a kid, and what was life like?
Oh, it was a normal childhood, nothing remarkable really, but it was in sunny New Zealand. It's a small country. I've got a loving family, supportive, but like everywhere else, you know, people get old and die. My grandparents, they died before their time because of disease. And as each one passed, I almost punished myself because I didn't have any solutions to extend their lives so they could be with us. You could experience their loving smiles just a little bit longer or even improve their quality of life. So I took it on myself to find solutions. Obviously, it's too late for my grandparents, but for other people. So I started my journey. Probably I must have been very young when I really started seriously pursuing my quest for answers. And I started my electrical apprenticeship, became an electrician, then I advanced from there and through university to get various degrees and apply what I learned during those times. The life is a learning experience. There's no single time where you learn and then you stop learning and you start applying. Life is one huge learning curve. And even since I've completed my formal studies, I've probably learned more since completing those studies, because now we're back in the real world and we're seeing, now we're in a position where we can do our own leading edge research and discover things that have yet, you know, haven't made mainstream. We haven't started talking about Spooky 2. Spooky 2 is a company which I started many years ago, maybe 9 years ago. And people must be wondering, what is Spooky 2 and why call it Spooky 2? Well, I needed a name for the healing products which I was developing. And I wanted something, a name that was simple, that once you hear it once, you never forget. Now, one of the devices which we created in conjunction with a researcher in South Africa, Johan Stegman, was a device, a method of sending healing frequencies through great distances without being connected through wires. And this is something which I thought was just absolutely nuts at the time, until I was happily proven wrong. And it's aligned with a concept which Einstein he termed a phrase "spooky action at a distance," mm-hmm. where linked DNA, even though they can be thousands of miles apart, can still be connected in an information sense. We can treat a person's DNA, and the DNA of that person could be miles away from the person themselves. And the frequencies are applied to the person, and they reap the rewards, the benefit of the programs that are applied. So we decided, right, we'll call it Spooky 2, because we refined that process and thought, well, okay, it's the next level. So that was our Spooky Remote. And since those early days when things were made in the garage and shipped overseas, we have grown exponentially. We've now got people all over the world living the spooky dream of health. You know, a lot of people live a long time, or they have dreams of living a long time, but if you're living your final years being in a wheelchair or bedridden, it's not much of a life. Quality life is extremely important. We, one of our company's main visions is to eliminate illness. Mm-hmm. We believe that even old age is a disease. it's quite amazing. You know, when people get old, you don't necessarily have to start decaying. There are things that you can do to greatly prolong your lifetime. and in doing so, have a fantastic quality of life, participation in everything that's around you and your family and all the loved ones in your life. So, okay, I'm getting a bit of a sidetrack here. We, you know, I started a cancer clinic in New Zealand. It was a clandestine clinic. It wasn't a allopathic clinic, and so I had to do things secretly. It was in the basement of a high-rise building. Two floors above me were the Auckland University Cancer Research Group. they weren't aware that I was there, but things got a little bit uncomfortable. I had a private investigator come and do a bit of digging, and I decided, no, it's getting too close to the, it's getting too scary. I wasn't given any threats in written form, but there was, I decided, no, I've got to get away from this environment. And the one country which is more open to alternative kinds of treatment is China. Mm-hmm. It's also the country where I was sourcing a lot of the components at the time. So I decided to pack my bags and move to China. And I I've never lived in China since then, so I've been here for about 7 years. Now most of our equipment is sourced actually from America, because American components tend to be quite high quality. But yeah, that's the story in a nutshell. Since coming to China, we've brought together an international team of researchers to help develop truly leading edge treatment devices that help people maintain their health or eliminate diseases that they may have. And we haven't rested on our laurels. We have perhaps, well, on our Facebook group, you must have something over 35,000 people belonging to there. We've got an enormous customer base throughout the world. For every one of our customers that do buy one of our products, they actually indirectly donate to people in need, because we have trusts set up. When you buy a unit of whatever, a certain portion of what you pay us goes to trusts for hospitals, orphanages, old people's homes, for the environment. We're not talking like 0.001% either. It's something like 5% of the sales. So it's a good, decent portion of it. So we've created a large pool of people that have received blessings from purchasing our products, not just with the products doing, you know, the job which they're designed to do, which is to heal them, make them better and stronger faster, but also in a spiritual sense. It's meant that they will receive rewards and wonder why, but they've given secret blessings and in their purchasing, and they're aware of this too. Some of them are.
That is amazing. So thanks a lot for sharing what you have so far. So you're an electrical engineer, right? Right. Among the other things that you have in the background that you have, what kind of overlap did you find between your study and pursuit of electricity and the human body?
Overlap. Well, yeah. You know, I had to disregard a lot of what I'd learned in the formal studies because some of it is wrong. I'm an electrical engineer, but they don't teach plasma. Yeah. In fact, there's reasons behind that, which you may or may not be aware of. It's almost like they withhold information that's truly useful. Mm-hmm. We get this with mainstream doctors. You ask them how much formal training have they had in nutrition. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows nutrition is the if you don't have good nutrition, you get sick. Now, why on earth will they not teach doctors who have pledged an oath to heal people, not teach them about nutrition? And, of course, you get really some really good doctors that have taken it upon themselves to learn about nutrition, but this isn't through their, there's not in their curriculum this isn't in their medical school. They might have something like 15 minutes of training. This is what I've been told from several different countries. It's not just America. And it's quite shocking, really. Everyone knows if you eat bad, you get sick. But I believe that the reason they don't is because it goes against the business model. You know, the business schools are supported financially by certain companies, and they don't really want people to be well. So, hey, let's make a change and make people more aware that, yes, nutrition is really number one, and everything just follows that. You can't be a healthy person while eating junk or living in a bad environment. So they don't teach that. They don't teach you things which are important, like auras. If you ever walk into a room and all of a sudden your whole energy just drains, and it's like, this is real bad. You can't put your finger on it, but everything about the whole place is like a poison, a slow-acting poison. And if you stay there too long, you'll then become part of that environment. We all kind of absorb things like sponges. Well, this is actually a scientific fact, but where do you read about it? You just don't. The way that our cells communicate, how on earth can a single cell become a human being? Communication. What cells become eyes? Where do they go during their formation? The eyes don't end up here. They go in the right places in most people. How does it all happen? And though it's not magic, even though it's magical, it's not. So the further you learn, the more you learn, the more you realize just how much is not being studied. It's really very disappointing. So fortunately, there are scientists that do have an interest in things that I've just discussed now, and Spooky Tour is very aligned with them. So, yeah, we're doing things which maybe a few years ago would have been deemed impossible.
Yeah, I mean, what you point to very accurately is the innate intelligence of nature itself, right? Like you pointed out, there's an aura, but then how does this nature using sacred geometry know where the nose is supposed to be, where the eyes are supposed to be? How many eyes do we have? How many ears do we have? And all this intelligence is happening almost automatically. We don't need to tell ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
How to grow the nails, how to grow the hair. All of this is happening automatically. And it seems like if we allow the human body or nature itself the proper environment or the conditions that are conducive to growth, then it will. But I guess because of certain external factors, from time and time again, you have this disruption in the flow of energy.
That's right. And this disruption is getting worse because, I mean, humans are really stupid, aren't they? They know that radiation causes diseases, and they just and they've just put up these towers with more power. I'm talking about 5G, but there's others as well that are near homes, near schools, hospitals. They're the last place you want to have them, because people want to have the convenience of high-speed cell phone usage. But the cost to that is our lives. But, you know, it's terrible. Well, I mean,
so could you tell me a little bit more about this? Because I'm very fascinated by this. I don't have a lot of information on this. So you have towers, but then you have 5G as well. What's happening right now? How bad is it for us in terms of the short term? I'm sure there are long-term implications as well. But in the short term, what's exactly happening right now? Could you give us an overview?
I'll give you I'll explain it this way.
Okay.
If I talked to you in, say, French, maybe you wouldn't be able to understand me. And it doesn't matter how loud I talk in French, you still wouldn't be able to understand me. We're talking a common language, English, and it's a flow, a nice, gentle flow of information between us. This is the way that we work in the soup of information, of spiritual, everything that's around us. We are part of all of this. And we are talking, ourselves are talking the language of everything that's around us. If we start bombarding ourselves in a language that it doesn't understand, and it's like in a shouting force, then the cells become fatigued and less able to do what the cells would do normally, which is getting rid of pathogen invaders like fungi and bacteria. It's our bodies don't function at the full potential. Now, the frequencies that are used for cell phones, radios, TVs, and all this, they go up and down. They're Hertzian waves. Looks like waves on an ocean.
Yeah.
But our body doesn't speak that language. Our body speaks the language of a kind of wave, which is a percussion wave, which is this one.
Oh, okay.
This is actually sound. So we are using percussion waves as we're talking right now.
Okay.
It goes to the microphone. The microphone converts it to an up and down wave. Finally, when it goes to your speakers, your headphones, it goes back to this one again. So there is an intermediary step, but in normal situations, it'll be purely percussion. Percussion waves have got a different they can pass through things without being hindered so much. In particular, one special kind of percussion wave, and maybe we'll be talking about that later on, that's the scalar wave. But if we talk in the form of a percussion wave, our cells would be able to receive this information and not be drained of the energy. It's an unnatural wave, the 5G. It's extremely high power. And because the frequency is so high, it becomes a radiation kind of wave. And so it's kind of like a soft X-ray. Continuous soft X-ray, and most people think, well, X-rays aren't kind of good for you. There's a reason why the X-ray person goes out of the room and wears a leather apron. Well, they don't give us leather aprons as we're walking past these towers, do they? But perhaps they should, or perhaps even better, they should just turn the towers off and go back to you know, put emphasis more on health than on convenience and technology for the sake of technology. So it's really the our body is being bombarded by all these unnatural waves, and it can be, you know, television. Digital waves are particularly harmful because they have a very high frequency component. The higher the frequency, the more damaging it can be because the energy is higher. And the tendency, the trend is to go for higher frequencies because then you get the more information can be transferred. The bandwidth becomes greater. And lo and behold, we had the dreadful 2.4 gigahertz routers for Wi-Fi. Now we're going into the 5 gigahertz range. It's like going from bad to incredibly terrible. And this is the trend. I can't see things getting any better. It's hard to escape the noise, the electrical pollution that's around us. It's just not really possible. Unless, I guess, if you live in the forest and you've got no power, you just heat yourself from a fireplace if it's a cold climate Yeah, it's really hard. If you can, if you've got a radio and you can receive a station, it means that those signals are also passing through you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Very interesting points that you made right here, and thanks for sharing all of this with us, especially people who might not be familiar with what's happening in our age with 5G. You know, I can also sense a lot of people around the world, especially people listening to this episode right now, feel the urge to move maybe farther away from the city, or maybe move off-grid just so that they're not exposed by all these different frequencies that are harmful on a very cellular level. And so we're going to talk about both Scalar and Rife, but maybe before, if you can talk to us about what are Rife frequencies and what's the story about you coming across them?
Sure. Well, Rife frequencies, we'll go back one step further. What is Rife? Rife is actually a person, Royal Raymond Rife. He lived in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. In 1920, he was designing high-power microscopes. Very shortly after that, he was designing machines to apply frequencies. He needed the microscopes to see the effect of the frequencies that he was then going to apply to people. He was a scientist. He was like a Nikola Tesla of his time, incredibly intuitive, incredibly intelligent. I believe that when I was reading through a lot of his papers, he also listened to his inner self. You know how sometimes you get these ideas, and those ideas could have come from the divine, it could have come from anywhere. He listened to them, whereas many people just disregard it as being crazy. And as it transpired, no, it actually was incredibly amazing, the things that he produced. Using his microscope, he then put some cancer cells in slides, and he changed the frequency on his machine, which used plasma, which I've already said isn't discussed now for this reason. And he found the precise frequency that killed those cells.
Okay.
After this time, he then applied the very same frequencies to animals that had the same cancer, and the cancer would disappear inside those animals. It would just go smaller and smaller till it's gone. This is not hearsay. It's not a rumor or conspiracy, anything. This is absolutely true. So he refined the process. He found the frequencies for a lot of other diseases. And the medical establishment at this time was just becoming established, being created, one that we know now. Yep. They at that point in time, they're a little bit more receptive than they are now. And they said, well, okay, let's do a trial. Right, okay, we've got 16 people who are going to die. Yeah. They're not going to be lasting much longer, so there's no harm done if it's unsuccessful. You treat them for 1 month, and we'll count how many people die at the end of the month, or how many people are surviving at the end of the month. And maybe if it's over 50%, then there's something in his treatment method. Yeah. And after treatment, he cured all of the cancer of those people. They were completely cancer-free. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a big celebration. He had a banquet held in his honor.
Right.
And his photograph was in the newspaper. Hooray, you know, well done, well done. And in the photograph that was published in the, I think it was the New York Times, they had the beaming faces of the doctors holding up the glasses. Hooray, we finally achieved our goal. Well, if only. Not long after that, the tune suddenly changed, where some of the doctors suddenly said, now, we didn't attend that meeting. It might be their doppelganger, their twin brother there, but it wasn't them, you know, even though the photograph proves otherwise.
Right.
And they said that the whole trial wasn't a proper trial. They questioned the authenticity.
Okay.
And then it just went downhill from then. When humanity had the choice right then and there to eliminate disease.
And this was 100 right, years back, right?
It was right. It was there for the picking, uh-huh. And it was left. It was knocked away from the tree, more you know, keeping to the analogy, that apple was crushed. So we never tasted that apple. Now, mm-hmm. That is a travesty which we are trying to resolve the best way we can. We have a plasma machine which is as close as possible to the original Royal Rife machine. It doesn't use a carrier frequency. It's got incredible accuracy. We're extremely proud of this plasma machine, and it's also doing many of the things that the original plasma machine did in resolving very serious life-threatening illnesses. So, but isn't it crazy? 100 years ago, that's several lifetimes or generations, I should say. And now it's basically forgotten. It's swept under the carpet. If you do a Wikipedia search of Royal Rife, you'll see the words alleged and scam and all the rest of it. It's sad.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, for that side, you know, there was a court case in Royal Rife's time. They tried to drag him down where he couldn't develop any more machines, and they got him entangled in a court case. His chief engineer wanted a claim of his company, but even the court records where people have sworn under oath to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, that's when the true facts can be heard of these people having cancer and then not having cancer in a very short time, without having drugs, without radiation treatment, without being cut under a knife. This totally right. Non-invasive. Isn't that an amazing solution? But the reason why it didn't fit in the ideals at the time for treatment is that electricity is cheap, and that's all that this machine consumed.
It's not profitable.
Not profitable.
Right.
It's sad. I'm not for a minute saying that doctors are like this, you know. Mm-hmm. But they've only been through the system, the same system that I went through, where they're taught things that suit the environment, the medical system now.
Yeah, it's really interesting that somebody 100 years back came up with a solution that could potentially put an end to a grievance that is experienced not by the person who's going through cancer, but by the whole family as well. Everyone goes through, right, despair and illness. And I know in one of your interviews, you spoke about the helplessness, right, that you experience when somebody who's close to you is in that position, in the bed, and you don't know what to do. You're completely dependent on the establishment, which is the doctors. And maybe individually they have good intentions, but because they're part of this agency or large corporation, you know, the individual does not get the best care that they can potentially get. Right. I was on the same boat because last year my mom passed away because of quote unquote, COVID. But I know that it was not just that, it was because of so many other things like mismanagement and not really getting the best type of support that she could get at that time. Mm-hmm. But thanks a lot for sharing that. And so you're saying that you have, or your machines can now create something similar, right frequencies that can then benefit individuals as well.
Yes. What us as a company, our goal is to empower people so that they can make their own choices and use our devices to the best of their advantage. Healing from some diseases is more than just turning a machine on, some of it may be a learning curve. Knowledge is a lot, is very, very important. So we have training courses so people can learn what causes disease and what they can do to resolve the disease. A lot of people's diseases quite often have very simple causes. It could be because they've installed power-saving light bulbs in their home. I mean, okay, here we go. Here's another can of worms we're opening up. How on earth can that be possible? Well, power-saving lighting, LED, very high in blue light. What does blue light do? It suppresses your melatonin, so you don't sleep properly. What does that do? It suppresses your immune system. You see this chain of events. And when once your immune system down, it doesn't keep a lid on the cancer cells that virtually all of us have in our body at all times. Normally they're kept at bay. But okay, we've got our low immune system. You may see it, most people may see it as just getting a cold or flu more frequently. But that's, you know, do you think it's just from a light bulb because of our wish to save on our power bill that can cause problems further down the track? And the solution could be something as simple as buying some filter glasses. I mean, really?
Blue blocking glasses.
Yeah, and they're not tinted. Right. They're clear. What they do is that they refract the blue light. And they look like normal glasses. Isn't it crazy? But do they teach this? No. Do most people know about it? No. And this is the big thing. It's creating a real pandemic of illnesses around the world. There's more to things. You know, if the more you learn, the more you can become quite worried. You know how I've mentioned how our body is information. The human language is information, and our bodies, our cells react to this information. Think about this information that's coming from radio stations that you've got no idea of what the audio that's coming through. But some of these radio stations with their some music isn't necessarily loving music, is it? It's quite hateful.
Yeah.
Those radio waves are passing through your body. Every cell in your body is receiving that information of hate.
And so it's not resonating in your ears, that frequency is still affecting
your
cells. Okay.
Absolutely. And so it just goes from bad to worse. You know, but I'm an optimist, and I believe that if people learn and know, then we become like a tsunami of change. More people realize, well, hang on a moment. Let's tune off the Wi-Fis and use wires to connect our computers to the internet if you need the internet, which most people kind of do. I'm not saying to everyone, you know, move into a cave and not have any lights or anything, but try and find solutions to the problems that are intrusive, which we just can't get away from. Just little things that... fluorescent lamps, they produce copious amounts of ultraviolet because those fluorescent tubes contain mercury. The mercury makes the tube shine brightly, but it also produces a 254 nanometer spectrum range of very harmful ultraviolet. So, I mean, I think I've got small ultraviolet lights above me now. I know it's not healthy. In fact, it's anything but healthy. It means I can read and see things in a room that hasn't got natural light. But if I get the choice, I'll open up the curtains and turn all the lights off and let Mother Nature look after the lighting.
What are some other everyday household items that you might not notice are kind of disrupting your cellular rhythm and hampering your immune system? Are there any others that you can think of right now?
There's not many that don't. Everything from hair dryers are very bad because they're very powerful. They're almost about 2 kilowatts of EMF that's right next to your brain.
Yeah.
Little things like toothbrushes aren't so bad because the power levels are so low. But basically anything that's electric, it's close to your body, that changes in frequency will produce a wave that passes through your body, but just differing effects. Hair dryers are very bad. Electric shavers, not so bad. Vacuum cleaners are very bad, actually, because they're quite powerful, and motors produce copious amounts of magnetic field. But, I mean, who uses a vacuum cleaner, right? Well, okay, I mean, you don't, they're intermittent, so I think in a practical sense it's not so bad. It's just small doses. But if your immune system is compromised, which most people are because of the poisonous environment that we're in, not just EMF but other things like foods and the air, then sometimes it just needs a little trigger to start you on the spiral down to illness. So it's not just EMF, it's also the air pollution, which is dreadful. It's really bad where I am in China. We can't see very far most days because of the smog. Fortunately, I'm not in a commercial area, but I mean, air blows over from a commercial area through us, and you can't escape it. It's air, there's noise. Noise is a terrible, terrible thing. If you don't sleep properly, then over time, that again can suppress your immune system and make your body function at a fraction of what it should function at the potential. So if you live near any road or somewhere where there's, you know, they do horn beeps or anything like this, it's very detrimental. But there's things you can do. You can play white noise in the background to just soothe your brain. You can listen to audio beats, bring down your brainwave pattern to its in the sleeping zone. For most things, there are solutions. For inside a home, you can buy a HEPA filter. You don't need to do anything, go expensive. You can just buy the replacement filter, the sheet itself, and place it in front of a fan. And that's a DIY house filter, which brings down particle sizes, removes even the COVID virus from the air.
Right.
There's little tricks you can do. Everyone can do, but we're not taught it. We're not told it. And so we're still like meandering around aimlessly, suffering because of the place where we are. And, you know, one thing which you haven't touched on is the friends that we choose. If you choose friends who are negative, their spirituality is, it's almost like a vampire type state where you're with them and you might enjoy the jokes in their company, but you walk away from them and you're drained.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of those things which, because it can't be measured in a laboratory, it doesn't exist, but everyone knows it does.
They can feel it.
They can feel it. And right. As soon as people become more intuitive and listen to themselves, the better they will be. So these people that are the social vampires, they can really cause physical illness just being around them. It's more than just one thing that can cause illness, but there's certainly a lot of things in a home that can cause illnesses. Actually, it's funny. One time at the very beginning of the COVID pandemic, I've got an interview channel. I arranged for an expert to come on to explain about the things you can do to prevent yourself from being sick. He cancelled it. He cancelled at the last moment. He's the only expert that's ever cancelled on my show.
Yeah.
He cancelled because of pressure, peer pressure, because he was a doctor.
Oh, okay.
And so I was in the unfortunate position of spending an hour telling people just the grassroots ways that they can prevent themselves getting COVID, and if they do, what they can do to prevent it going from bad to worse. And that channel, that particular video, of course, has been erased from the internet. Really? I mean, gosh.
Well, it's interesting to see what lengths people can go to prevent their reputations or to protect their reputations and to protect their career, even if they
a lot of times find information that is contrary to what they believed in the past, right? Whether it's history, you find a lot of times that people are very protective of the current narrative or history. It's, you know, you see that in science, you see that in medicine, you see that in all these different fields where these the establishment and people whose reputations are dependent on the current narrative will go to any lengths to dishonor and, you know, really attack the other person who has now potentially found out something that can really transform the future of humanity. And speaking of that, I just wanted to ask you about Scalar, because we spoke about Rife for some time, but yes. What is Scalar now?
Right. Okay, well, now we're going to venture into the territory of Nikola Tesla. But just before we do, I would like to comment on what you've just said. You know, if everybody, like everybody, research groups, Joe Public, Josephine Public, everybody just drops the issues, the concerns for their money income streams, damage to their reputation, who gave them the research money for whatever. If everything was dropped,
right,
what truth will come out of the closet, you know?
Oh, my God, so much.
Now, you know, the things that you discover, gifts that are given to you from who knows where, whether it's from the divine, well, what's the divine? It's never been measured or anything, but it's there. If people start listening and become attuned to all this knowledge, all the goodness that's around them, instead of being so entangled in this human-invented problems, obstacles, barriers, let's imagine what sort of world we'd be living in now. Okay, so Nikola Tesla, he was a man who was very connected to the divine. He was like Royal Rife, where he was definitely a genius, years ahead of his time. He had to have financial backing, and so he had people that helped him with his research. One of his main focus was in energy transmission.
Okay.
And, his backer was a billionaire. He was involved in the energy sector. When the person supporting Nikola Tesla discovered that Nikola Tesla was focusing on free energy transmission,
right,
extracting energy from nothing, and you've got to argue, well, what is nothing? There's no such thing as nothing. There's always there's everything is
something,
everywhere.
Right.
And Nikola Tesla had a whole lot of something from nothing. He could power everything, all factories, houses on Earth for free from nothing and distribute this energy for free. The backing for him was dropped. He had no funding. So then he clambered to try and find someone else to continue his research, and he didn't find anyone in the end, so he tried to do it on his own shoulders, and I mean, he died, I think, he's about 90, I think, but right to the very end, he was trying to improve humanity by creating devices that everyone could benefit from. But it didn't fit the business model, which is utilities of power generating plants that can know how many electrons are going out, and they can charge it. They can charge it. It can be tariffed, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So he failed. He also created other devices. He was very prolific in his inventions. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of his inventions never saw the light of day, because when he died, a lot of his papers were taken and never returned to the public eye for whatever reason. Maybe it was a similar thing to Royal Rife, where something which could have truly benefited mankind.
right.
And so it's obviously, you can't have that. We can't have that at all. Now, his way of transmitting energy was using scalar waves. Scalar waves are percussion, which is the waves which our bodies talk at naturally. Our DNA talks in percussion waves. More technically, they call them longitudinal waves. Mm-hmm. Now, scalar waves behave differently from radio waves. They can pass through steel, concrete, Faraday cages. It doesn't matter. It just goes straight through once a scalar field has been established. Now, during his research, Nikola Tesla made machines which produced copious amounts of scalar waves.
Right.
Huge amounts. And he noted that when he stood next to this machine, he felt really good, really, really good. So what we have done is taken his observations and refined them. We've looked at his patents of 1902, and they've long expired, so it's okay for us to do this.
Right.
And we can't lay claim to having invented anything, really, but what we have discovered is the health benefits of the scalar wave. Now, scalar waves, just like how you can pick up a telephone and talk to someone on the other side of the world, or that's the old-fashioned analogy. I should use a more modern one where you can use Skype on the internet. Okay, you were giving me the look, weren't you? Yeah. Okay, I'm showing my age here. But scalar waves can do the same thing, but do it over that special longitudinal wave. It can transfer information. In fact, it's a very good way of transferring information. And where it really gets amazing is the knowledge that the scalar field can transmit chemical information, which means you can put on the coil a healing compound, stand within the scalar field, and get all the benefits of that compound within that field. Let's say, for example, an easy example, you've got a cold and you put vitamin C on the coil. You sleep in the field. The next day you'll feel alive and invigorated because you've received that. Your body has received all the information of the vitamin C. The way that vitamins and minerals and proteins all work in your body, they engage with your cells. They lock into energy patterns. Now, every molecule has got what's known as a free electron energy state. If you can match that either through a physical substance or through frequencies, your body will receive exactly the same information that molecule would have presented to your cells if it had been ingested.
So really quickly, I mean, I'm sure people listening to this episode right now are fascinated, and maybe some of them are in disbelief, because we are programmed in such a way that we are used to thinking about things in a certain way, right? We're not used to the idea of abundance, where you can create something out of nothing. You can create a wave that is non-local, which means that you can send it out into the universe and it does not lose its intensity with distance, and it's not directional, so it means that it's in all directions. Plus, like you mentioned, you can transmit information from one part to another. And that seems really, really intriguing that, Nikola Tesla, you know, found that out, because it seems like he was more interested in the energy capability of providing free energy to the world. And these large corporations, from their very ego nature, did not want people to get free energy. Mm-hmm. But then there were obviously their health impacts also, because like you pointed out, when he was near these machines, he felt really, really good. Yeah, that's very fascinating.
It's more than just compounds, but this is where you're getting more into the spiritual side.
Right.
If you know how information can be everything.
Yeah.
We've written things on notes and put the note on the scalar coil, and mm-hmm. and gain the benefit from that. Whether it is from us knowing that there's a note there or not, I don't know. But the Ho'oponopono, forgiveness mm-hmm. chant, which is extremely powerful, we've placed that on the coil, and it's just incredible what happens if you sleep in the field that's got that note there. In fact, we've the Ho'oponopono, we put that note in our devices. We secretly, just between you and me, we write a note and we put this in, because then everyone's getting the blessings, whether they know it or not. Whether they know it or not. Now, in the early stages of developing our scalar device, obviously we're not interested in energy transmission, so we're purely focusing on the health benefits. So we have a lower power device. We have it so that's between two devices, so it becomes like a bubble of scalar rather mm-hmm. than very far distances. We lent out a prototype scalar device to a friend of ours mm-hmm. that had a cancerous nodule in their breast. It was just before about a month before we had a tour of America to announce a release, because we were thinking in a month's time it would be ready for release then. But just through for humanity's sake, we decided to help a friend out. We only had one prototype, so I had to quickly jury-rig up another one for taking with us to America. Getting through customs, well, that's another story again. But I think it was our second, either our first or our second conference there, we received a text message with scientific lab reports showing that the tumor had almost disappeared thanks to the scalar device. And we asked her later, how did you actually run it? Did you have a healing compound on the coil? Did you have healing audio playing? Did you have a note? Did you do anything? No. All she did was just turn it on and sleep within the field. There's no sound from the device. And all it was doing really was giving her body the energy, charging up the ATP within her cells to a level where her own body could take care of the cancer cells. Already the body was fighting the cells and was losing the battle. We recharged her battery, and in a very short time, the cancer shrank to the size of a pea. From mm-hmm. about that size there, and now she's cancer free several years down the track. Sometimes all we need is just a bit of a recharge in our body. So she hadn't even used the other advanced capabilities of scalar, which is the I would have said to her, well, at least put vitamin C on, because vitamin C is quite cool for cancer. Cancer doesn't like the acids or some other compound which is good for cancer. A lot of people put drugs on the coils, because drugs are expensive, because of the price of the raw materials, it's because of the business model and the advertising and everything. But you just need to have one of the really expensive tablets on the coil and then keep on using it forever. It doesn't use up the drug. It's like if you fill up a glass of orange juice and you hold it up to the light, you can see the orange coming out. Now, you seeing the orange doesn't make the orange go less in the glass.
No.
Well, that's a very close analogy to what's happening in the scalar field, where the scalar is going through this compound. It's changing the scalar field in a very subtle way, and it's carrying, okay, if it was the orange glass, it would be the orange color, but here it's the molecular information of that drug through the scalar field, which is kind of cool, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Nikola Tesla had a fascination with frequencies, and he always invited and encouraged people to think in terms of frequencies, right? Which is what you're speaking to as well, that mm-hmm. you're now able to transmit these frequencies, these energy signature patterns that can lead to a healing transformation. What was his obsession with 369 all about? Because you should think about 369 a lot, right? Do you know about that, or is there anything that you can tell us?
Sure. Well, I believe it's been extrapolated since his time. Okay. Mm-hmm. He wasn't fixated on that. I encourage people, when you do research, don't do Google researches. Do patent and scholarly searches if you really want the truth. Otherwise, all you're hearing is opinions rather than facts. Okay, if you look at the factual sites, what you'll see is, yes, he was interested in that, but he didn't put so much time into it as most people would like to think. He found that there are some patterns that that were remarkable mathematically, but he didn't go so far as to say that's the answer to the questions of the universe and everything. He just noted that there's other things like the Fibonacci series, which is also of major interest, especially in biology, but it's not quite what people think. It's actually really interesting because here Nikola Tesla, even though he's Serbian, we visited his hometown. We did a spooky tour there, and we were surprised at the depth of the sciences there. It seems like, isn't it funny how sometimes there's groups of people throughout the world that just happen to sort of live in the same kind of area who are like-minded. And there are pockets in Serbia where people were really brilliant and out of their box thinking. But you don't read about it, A, because it's in a different language, and B, because it's some things that people would rather not really think about. One fact I took away from one of the meetings I had with a scientist there was how a magnetic wave can be polarized using an optical lens. It's kind of it pervades common sense. How can an optical light polarize a magnetic field, which is not affected by? You can't see a magnetic field, so how can an optical thing affect it? But it does. And that's we've proven. It's just little snippets of information that we have garnished from our associations of researchers through the world that we apply in our machines. So the Scalar machine, that's now been out for about 4 years, I suppose, something like that. Boy, that's an amazing machine. But all of our machines are amazing in their own right. I guess now is a good time because we've mentioned frequencies for a while. Well, what Royal Roy found is that to kill a germ, you need to find the germ's frequency and then apply it. It's called a resonant frequency. And if you apply this frequency, the germ pops. I mean, all this is oversimplified, but it's a general idea.
Yeah.
So we can apply precise frequencies at a full 30 watts, which is the power of our machine, not 400 watts of energy. It's a nice 30 watts of razor-sharp precision frequency to that pathogen. And so there's no escaping it. It gets the right frequency at the right power level, and then the damage is done to it. But if you apply that frequency, because the frequency only affects that germ, that virus or that bacteria or fungi or whatever, parasite, no other cells are affected. So it's not like you're taking a tablet which is an antibiotic which destroys all your gut microbiome. It targets the germ. It's like a perfect, it's like a sniper's rifle. It doesn't take out everyone around the target. This goes for the for the kill on one target, and in this case, it's the germ.
So this is specifically about the right frequencies. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So if you consider pushing a child on a swing, if you push the child at the wrong rate, the child doesn't start swinging. But if the child swings back and then you push again, the child swings back, you push again, with very little effort, you can get that child swinging high up in the air. Well, that's what resonance is, by applying low energy but at the precise frequency. Mm-hmm. So no harm is done. It's sort of a win-win situation where no other cells are damaged, only that target germ is destroyed. So after you've applied the frequencies, your body has got a much better chance of recovery because it's in the full fighting state. Nothing's been compromised. Right. And so you've still got all your gut microbiome. You can still digest your food, get the full nutrients. It's magic. So that's the importance.
Yeah, that's definitely fascinating for sure. Everything that you're explaining, especially the fact that you can approach disease and illness in a different way, which is, like you pointed out, more like a sniper rifle, which is specifically affecting only the cancer cells and not, you know, affecting the other healthy cells that are good for our body, right? I wanted to ask you, so Nikola Tesla also had a theory about the true purpose of the pyramids, right? In terms of, you know, what their role was as opposed to just being, you know, like graves for the pharaohs. Have you heard about that as well?
Oh, sure, I've heard, but
the generation of the energy.
But my depth of knowledge is probably no greater than most of the people that were watching this video. It's very interesting, right. But I didn't see this in his patents.
Right.
So I don't know whether he had a personal interest that didn't warrant. And besides, what can you patent? I didn't see anything in the scholarly papers either.
Yeah.
But it's certainly amazing. Some of the features of some pyramids, sound, quiet sounds transferring from one location to another, and then either side nothing. How on earth is that possible? So I believe that there's more to pyramids than what the scientific community realize or recognize or at least acknowledge.
There are pyramids in so many places around the world, right? Pretty intriguing.
Yeah, isn't it a strange coincidence that the dimensions are all the same? It's kind of really strange, really bizarre. But, you know, when you think about it, 1,000 years from now, what proof will they have that there was such a thing as an internet? Everything is being saved in digital form. They can only be read from digital devices. It's not like in the – even let's say 1,000 years, things are preserved on paper or rock. Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be rock if it's long, great spans of time. But our time, we will not exist. And so people stumble upon some artifact and what is this, you know, and then they'll come up with their own theories of what it is because we know better. And maybe a similar thing happened then. Maybe they obviously knew about electricity because in a hieroglyphic picture in Egypt, they have a battery. And they have a spaceman in a semi-prone position. So in a rocket, they actually show a rocket. So in stone, they've carved it out. But, of course, technology doesn't last. It just, you know, silicon becomes sand. And so there's no real records of it. So now we're just stumbling in the dark. We've got no idea what information, what technology was around then.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think part of what the stage that we've reached right now in terms of humanity is that there's a lot of ego where maybe the foremost visionaries and thinkers believe that everything needs to be created right now. And our generation or these couple of generations were the most advanced. But what I found is usually humanity moves in cycles, right? Where there's an advanced civilization that for some reason or the other disintegrates.
That's right.
You know, and goes down, maybe because they were so advanced and so intelligent that itself led to their downfall. Mm. And maybe we can look back and take some keys and then use them in our current civilization, but not make the same mistakes.
I think growth is measured using the wrong rule stick. It's not measured through humanity. It's measured through technology and wealth. Mm. It's the wrong yardstick. If we started measuring things, if there is a way of spiritual awareness, happiness, mm-hmm. and love. We, it seems, are born to hate, to fight, to kill, have wars, defend, attack. It's like mm-hmm. it's part of humanity. And we keep on telling ourselves that we're good people, that human, you know, the term humanity normally means something good, right?
Yeah, but, I always think about this a lot. Please go ahead.
But it's the opposite.
Yeah, like they say, right? Yeah, that animal was butchered in the most humane way possible. Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? You killed the animal.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's for me, it's been a learning curve. Now I'm a vegetarian because I suddenly realized I am not really in the center of the path of where I want to go. I'm on the edge That's of the true. Path, and I'm satisfying a desire to eat meat for the taste, but I'm above that. I'm above that, and so of course it's not easy, but. And it's really hard in China because everyone eats meat here. But slowly more and more people we're influencing to become vegetarian. In our company, we provide free meals. And these free meals are vegetarian. So, of course, everyone eats free because it suits their pocket. Yeah, we're a different kind of company, okay? and we want to start this global movement, but it has to start small. But mm-hmm. I believe it's very wrong to eat meat. And when I read how you need meat for the protein and everything else, that's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
Like you think about generations upon generations of people in India who mm-hmm. Get their protein from the bean sources, and no one can argue that their food tastes amazing. So they found
They found a way, right?
They found a way. So hey, for people that are watching us now, why are you so hesitant in becoming a vegetarian? Don't listen to the fact that you need to have meat. Now, I'll tell you a bit of a personal story. My wife and I have been trying for a child for a while, and we weren't having any luck, and we went to hospital and told that become used to the fact that we were going to be barren, not have a child. Right. Mm-hmm. And we tried lots of different ways. We ended up putting a wish of a child. Mm-hmm. Just a simple wish. It was me. I poured out my heart onto a piece of paper, folded it up, put it on the scale unit. And 2 months after that, and we applied it all the time. 2 months after that, we had the good news. So, not everything is factual. Okay, you can make things, you can make miracles happen if you put yourself in your mind and everything in the right place. Now, with regards to the vegetarian diet, because you're wondering what am I talking about this week, I'm answering that. Our child has been vegetarian from the very time when she gave her first smile in this world. She is the strongest, tallest, everythingest, and it's not just because mm-hmm. I'm her dad.
Yeah,
she is immensely strong. She's she's much taller than her peers who are the same age as her. Mm-hmm. People don't believe that she has only eaten vegetarian food. Now, mm-hmm. Before. We had enormous pressure from everyone, from her great parents in the family to other family members, to friends. Oh, you've got to have meat. You've got to, because otherwise she's going to be strong, but her bones will be weak and everything. We hear it, and she's going to be stunted because everyone knows the mice experiments of years ago. Well, she's taller than all her friends. And neither my wife or myself are tall. We're both kind of a little bit vertically challenged. But our daughter, she's very, very healthy, extremely bright, smart. So we're bringing her up. And as a vegetarian, she's never eaten meat. I'm bringing her up so she is connected to nature. If we see an insect, we stop. And if it's non-poisonous, we'll pick it up and look at it and talk about it. And again, the connection. I think that what we have lost as a species is the awareness of other species around us, the importance that the other species play in our lives. And we have become arrogant. We now consider ourselves the apex species. We are the boss hog. We're not. We will come, we will go. And people, this natural arrogance that we have, we've just got to lose it. We are part of our environment. Yeah. We've got to create a healthy environment so we become healthy, but also we mustn't lose our love for the environment. It's so important.
That's very true. I think a lot of times, like you pointed out, humans assume that we are at the center of the circle that is nature, but the truth is that we occupy one spot in the circle.
We are part of nature.
Collective experience that is called nature. Now, and also just to echo the point of the energy that you get from a plant-based diet. Recently, I've taken up juicing on an ongoing basis. I bought myself a juicer, and whenever I have, like I do a lot of celery juice, I just feel the energy, right, in every cell of my body. I just feel good about myself. And that mixed with my cold exposure in the morning and some breath work, that really does it for me. And it's just fascinating how, you know, you can experiment so much, right? Even with nature, with different plants and different herbs and different fruits, and see the combinations and how it affects you and influences you. But the most important thing, I think, is you feel good about yourself because, you know, you're not killed any animal in the process, right?
Yes,
now, to be
right.
fair, I'm not vegan fully. I want to get there. Yeah. But whenever I have a nice, you know, bowl of salad, completely plant-based, and a juice, it just does it for me in terms of the pure electric energy that I feel, right? And it, I think, ties to the theme for today, which is electricity, but that even the plant gives me such an electric energy across my body.
That's right. When you think that there's no animal that wants to be killed, and you think about the instant when it's killed, and animals have got souls, regardless of what is known by humanity. Animals have souls. They do. Dogs, cats, and all animals, they have souls. But you're taking that. And the moment when they're killed, it's only for like pleasure. It's not necessarily for health.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in order mind and tormenting it through, you know, you go to a supermarket, you don't see any of that. You always see a packet with a lovely, you know, lovely presentation of sausage or meat, steaks or anything. You don't see.
Yeah.
The real, the things that happened prior to it being presented to us. Yeah, but it's totally not necessary to eat meat. Absolutely not necessary.
Now, John, could you describe the scalar machine to me? Like, because I know it has multiple components. You've got two units. You've got a transmitter and a receiver, right? So could you give us an overview of that and what sort of little role that each unit plays in the creation of scalar waves?
I was looking to see if I had one here to show you, but
No, I don't.
It's two black, beautiful boxes with liftable lids. You place them across a room or across a house even, because scalar fields can go great distances. You connect them with one wire. It's a single strand wire. That's called the link cable. You lift the lids up, you turn it on, and you just do a brief tune.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's tuned, the scalar field is established. A scalar field, I call it field because it's a stationary field. It's the shape of a World War II Zeppelin balloon, like an elongated balloon, if you like. Anything that's within that field has a scalar energy passing through them. It's just as simple as that. You don't need to go and buy other accessories. That just by itself is all that you need, because you can place herbs, spices, whatever you want on the receiver coil and then gain the benefit of the substance in your body. But we have gone a step further. We've just recently developed an accessory that sends audio through the scalar field. Now, this has proven to be extremely good because always we've realized that the scalar field is amazing for meditation. Mm-hmm. It's also amazing for sleep. in meditation, people find that they can dive deeper if they meditate within the scalar field.
Right.
And for sleep, well, for me, it's got the effect of turning my sleep into color and waking up with, wow, who changed my engines? I'm suddenly feeling reconditioned. It's so much better when you wake up in the mornings.
Yeah.
So that's the effect of just a normal, simple scalar field. But, you know, everything is information. We can now send audio through the scalar field through an accessory. And so you just place this accessory on the receiver coil. You can send audio, you can plug it into an adapter cable, a phone, or an MP3 player, which we also sell, or anything, any audio source. What we would generally use it for is the Ho'oponopono again. Sorry to keep on bringing it up, but it is quite a significant and very easy chance to do. But there's other messages of other sutras that you can play as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do sell an MP3 player that's got a lot of the what we consider most important healing sutras, chants, meditative beats, as well as the Ho'oponopono. And you play these through the scalar field. Now, because the scalar field is the natural field through which our cells communicate with each other, our cells receive this message, this information that's in the audio. And it seems to take it to a new level. It seems to increase the effectiveness of the scalar field, if that was indeed possible.
I've got a quick question now. You know, the way you're describing it, you have the transmitter, you've got the receiver, and you're in a way creating, correct me if I'm wrong, a field or a field for your home, for example, right?
Yeah.
So let's say your uncle or auntie or grandmother is somewhere in a different country. Can you then send, you know, healing energy to them, or would they have to be between the transmitter and receiver in order to be effective?
The scalar field that is being produced by this unit is localized. It's just between the two lids. So, no, that wouldn't work. Some people do, you know, having said that, some people do use it for remote treatments where they use that person's fingernails and place those nails on the receiver. On the transmitter coil, sorry. and do it that way. Or they can use our remote frequency accessory, which was one of the first ones that we made. But that's certainly no issue. But generally, the scalar is localized.
Okay. Got it. Because I had one of those questions in mind, right? Because if, for example, if there are city councillors or MLAs or maybe, you know, governors who are convinced of this technology, what stops them from, in the city hall, placing a scalar that's powerful enough to influence the entire city? Is that even?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And, but you're talking about something which I mustn't tell you about because it's a project and it's quite a bit down the track. But I've sort of opened the lid a little bit. That is a concept of a device that we are developing for really health communities. It wouldn't be for a city, but certainly within a community. So a city block size transmission, and it'll only be a transmissive device. It won't have a receiver, and the power then the power levels left to be higher, and it'll be on a pole and things. But that's just quite a distance down the track, so don't expect anything soon. There's a lot of science that goes into the development,
and you've
got to get it right. And you know, if you are transmitting any sort of frequencies, the FCC are immediately on your back and saying, hang on a moment, you're now broadcasting in a frequency band that's prohibited, and they own all the frequencies.
Really? Okay.
And the frequencies that, well, not quite true. There are some that are allocated for amateur and experimental use, but the maximum power levels is very low that you're allowed to use.
Mm-hmm.
So there are difficulties that we are working around.
Okay. So as we come towards the close of this interview, and by the way, thanks for sharing all that you have so far, you know, your stories and, you know, what you're working on and talking about these different technologies. You know, what stops a person from creating a device? I know your scope is more about healing right now, but creating a device that is for what Tesla thought about, right? Transmitting electricity. Is that very unfathomable right now in today's world? Or is that even conceivable that somebody, maybe not you, or somebody could, you know, start going down that route?
Absolutely. Well, it's a proven science. The scales of magnitude are quite high. You need to extremely high energy levels to feed into the transmission tower, which is basically a dedicated power plant. And so that that's quite hard. You've got to deliver a burst of energy to start the process. Mm-hmm. And you need to have amazing grounding, which means you've got to bore down 20, 30 meters down the ground to get the connection to the earth. So it's possible, but you'd need to have good financial backing.
Okay.
But it's a fact. It's not hearsay. As soon as you establish a connection to the ether, then you can tap enormous amounts of energy. Enormous. Well, it's limit. But again, you know, it's going to be free once it's created, and you can't monitor who's using it. So you don't know who to charge. So who's going to spend billions of dollars on something which is good for humanity but really bad for business?
You mean there might be like energy pirates that are sucking up the energy, which is free?
There would be, but it wouldn't be at any cost. I mean, there's no problem. It's a paradigm shift to. You know, everything today is judged in business terms. You go to school, you've got to do your schooling. Everything that you learn at school is for learning a trade so you can work for somebody, or getting business skills so you can do it alone. But both instances are for some way of earning money so you can pay your taxes and pay for a house before you die. It's kind of really depressing when you think about the mechanics of it, but where does spirituality come into it, and the wealth that is with spirituality? Like, why is everything judged by money? Why?
Right.
And money itself is invented by us, and we are prisoners to our own invention. Aren't inventions supposed to make things easier and better and give us more free time? And what is free time for? Free time is to self-develop ourselves, surely.
So my question is, how do you, as an entrepreneur, as a creator, as a visionary, work towards your vision while being within the matrix, so to speak, that requires money in order to get funding and in order to create things, right? So how do you reconcile this? What is your process of going about it?
I think differently. I don't think in terms of money. For the for the time I've been in China, I haven't earned $1. I've not earned $1 at all. I've earned no money, I should say. Then, I get supplied with the food and accommodation. I mean, I'm married, but I've got no need for money, really. So I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. My brain, if you ask me what's the price of this or that of our products at spooky2.com, I've got no idea. Honestly, I don't. But I do know that when we develop something, we do it, you know, make it as affordable as possible. So this is an advantage for me. I think out of the box, I think what can I best make to make the greatest impact on humanity? That's the very first thing that I consider. I use my technical experience as well as the experience that I've gained since my those training years to come up with solutions. But there's actually one thing I want to state now. Spooky 2 isn't me, just me. It's actually thousands of people, thousands of researchers who are contributing. As we speak, there's the Facebook, there's our forum, there's our support team, there's people everywhere. We're global, community. And so that kind of that aligns perfectly with my goal to improve humanity and actually give humanity its real meaning. You know?
Absolutely.
I think that it's an advantage that I don't worry myself with financial issues. I worry myself with health issues. When someone comes to me and says they've got a health problem with da 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 da, let's say you've got a simple thing. If you're lucky enough to live to an old age, you're going to get carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a machine that can, you know, resolve that completely, heal it, not cut you open and slice open the tunnel that the carpal tendons pass through and alleviate the pressure. And it works off light. It's a cold laser device, our light pad. We got devices for everything, for prostate issues, for guys. We got a strap-on unit that was proven in studies, proven beyond a doubt that it's got a virtual 100% success rate. In a different study, in a different research, not us, but we've done our own studies, but it never got past that stage because they didn't consider it enough profitable enough.
Right.
So, of course, we take
the ideas are there. But yeah.
And so we grab what information we're legally able to and then developed our own machine. And then, of course, we can sell it. We're not too fussed about profit margins. Isn't it a match made in heaven? So now guys who can't, you know, have told they've got to have an operation and you know, scrape out the, I don't want to go into details, but, you know, make the bore larger. Now they can just use a light pad and it's got the special light placement place. Actually, it's using a lot of what was developed for the meridians. It shines on the meridian points. Another thing that hasn't made it in mainstream media, in mainstream medical. But it's been proven to work. Isn't it a travesty that they didn't make it into a product? But that's okay because we've done it.
Yeah.
But there's other devices as well. You know? They think, well, it's not profitable. Why bother pursuing it? It might need another $100,000 to develop. We're willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. So have you had any quote-unquote men in black show up at your door or near your home? Because you're doing all these different things that are potentially maybe rattling up some people's, you know, view in terms of how humanity should proceed.
It's one of it's probably the main reason why I moved to China. China's got a large population, so I think it's too many people for the constables to worry about little things like this. They really go for the bigger problems. So I've never had any problems here in China. While I was in New Zealand, that was a different story. I was harassed there. And, actually, in a way, the harassment did continue when I moved to China, but because I'm so far away, I can say to them, well, you come over here and we'll talk about it. they never come, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, no, people think China is sort of a heavily suppressed country, and maybe in some ways they are, but in some ways it's more open.
You know, I think there's a lot of propaganda also, right, you know, in terms of creating a preconceived notion about what a country like China is, what a country like Russia is, what a country like Iran is. Like, I think every side has its own, you know, media that programs the masses.
I had one person ask me, like, what? Well, they actually told me rather than asked me. They said they're not going to buy a spooky device because they're made in China.
Well, everything is made in China.
Well, yeah, but okay. I couldn't argue with that. It's true, but I struggled to answer that because or give a reply because her concept of China is more like a political side. Not on the person side. And when you think about the wars that countries have, it's not the people who are involved in wars. It's the you know, the top in the governments who say, right, we're going to take over the territory of so and so. And that's not the people. So okay, yes, we're made in China where we employ people who would otherwise not have a job because they've got a handicap, a physical handicap of some form, And we don't want to, we do want to support as many people as we can. So we don't, you know, even we've got groups of people in other countries that are also doing the same thing, supporting us in manufacturing in some way. We always make sure that it's done by people that are like-minded by us, people that aren't just thinking about the monetary side of things, but also the humanity side of things. And we like it when, let's say, we have a company that supplies us with a component.
Right.
That same company will set free live animals regularly in the streams or in the wilderness, just saving lives. We think, yeah, that's the sort of company that we will naturally want to align ourselves with. So we don't just go for the money side. You know, we think holistically. We think, well, okay, we're in for the long haul. We want to make a change in humanity. We also want to support other companies. There's a book called Karmic Management, which explains how the best way to be successful
I checked that out. I've not checked it out yet. Oh, it sounds intriguing.
It's to make everyone that you associate with as successful as possible.
Successful as possible. Right.
Even going so far as to being at your own cost.
Right. That's some good advice. I'm going to take that and check that out book as well, for sure. So what lies ahead for you in 2022? And how can somebody listening to this episode learn more about you and maybe get in touch with you?
Okay, well, the best way to do all of the above is to go to our main website, which is spooky2.com. From there, there are links to our forum, our Facebook group, our support team, our sales sites, and all that stuff. But it's only Spooky 2, that's number 2, not T-W-O, but it's Spooky, S-P-O-O-K-Y, then the number 2.com. Just go there and you can read about us, read about our mission, our vision, our values. What makes us different, I think, is important. We don't. We really are very different from possibly all other companies that you've purchased from in the past. And by supporting us, you directly support an orphanage. And it's not necessarily a Chinese orphanage. We've got orphanages all through the world. We, for example, we're supporting a hospital and building a hospital in Guatemala. And there's all sorts of these crazy schemes that we're doing. And we have official registered charities as well. So we don't just talk the talk. We're serious about it. In fact, if we just talk the talk, it would be very bad for our karma. And the reason that we've been so successful is because we are honest. We're just straight up honest. We're doing the best we can to make a positive change. And you can be part of our movement too by visiting our website. Please have a look at the products that we have because they may well be the solution that you've been seeking for. You might have bought some products from other companies that didn't give any results. Well, we are backed by an enormous wealth of information from people that have used our products and given feedback. Have a look at spooky2reviews.com. Every review is from a simple person just like yourself who may be at wit's end with a disease, an illness, a condition. They may have been told that there's no cure, no way to resolve them or make life better. And they've tried our devices and they've found that, wow, there is an answer. And you may, that same day when you look at those reviews, you may take it on yourself to start down that path of discovery. Knowledge is strength, and we really want you to know as much as you can about your condition and what you can do about it. We're not born sick. We're not born with illnesses, usually. You got them, you developed them, and so there's a way to reverse that almost always. So please have a look. We've got a database of programs. There's almost certain certainty that your condition is within that database, because that database is the largest in the world. We're so serious about using, you know, discovering resonant frequencies for all pathogens that we release every week, every Thursday, Nanjing time, the absolute up to the second frequencies for COVID-19. Up to the second. You can buy a commercial set of COVID-19 frequencies, which were calculated in January 2019. And then you'll be missing out on all the strains that have come out since then. In fact, all the strains that are out at that date are all extinct. Or you can become self-empowered, go to, it's actually cancerclinic.co.nz. That's my personal website. I should say it in an American way. It's cancerclinic.co.nz. Okay. every Thursday, I upload the absolute latest COVID-19 frequencies. So when you run that program, you know that you are hitting the target just like a sniper. That's how serious we are. I release these programs, frequencies, presets for free. I don't charge for them. That's like a gift to humanity. What about the ways that I calculate the frequencies? It's very complex, very scientific. I've published papers on my website telling everyone how I do it. It's not a secret. Mm-hmm. There's in the past, a method was developed, was patented, which means no one could use that method, and then the frequencies were charged. Mm-hmm. Do you feel comfortable paying $15 for a set of numbers? Well, I don't. Well, you can get them all for free, and they're razor sharp, they're exact. And I've identified 18 faults in the original method of calculating the DNA frequencies, the commercial sets. My DNA frequencies don't suffer from any of those shortcomings, and they're free. Things like this, you know, it's a feel good thing, but it's gifting humanity. I'd like to think that everyone has got at least a little bit of goodness in them. If they can grow that goodness, so it becomes their wholeness, that's when we'll see this change in humanity, the paradigm shift that we need to make life so much better.
Wonderful. Well, thanks a lot, John, for coming on our show and sharing all of this information. I'm sure people who are listening to this episode right now can feel the energy as well. Action Tribe, if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed these topics, because we don't really have these topics on our show at all. This is a very novel topic and something that needs to be spoken more of. Please write us an iTunes rating and review. Tell us your thoughts. Give us your feedback. And maybe share this podcast with a friend or a family member who could use this message and could use this inspiration or this information in their lives. If you would like to join me and breathe together and embark on your own version of spiritual journey, and make sure that you join me on Zoom for our next Sunday breathwork session, my7chakras.com/drop-in. That's my7chakras.com/drop-in. Make sure you use Heal 2022 to get your first class for free. So John, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a great day ahead. And we'll talk soon.
Every day is a great day. Every day is a great day.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my seven chakras.com.